you a trivia geek? Think you know pop culture? Are you ready for a challenge?
Yeah? No? Maybe? Whatever. It's fun, and that's all that matters. Grab your friends and head down to Wind River Resort and Casino and play the River Trivia Challenge. Live every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock inside Overtime Lounge. Test your knowledge and show your skills by playing the River Trivia Challenge for a chance to win free slot play and fantastic prizes. For official rules and details, log on to WindRiver.com. Trivia is better at the river. Join us at Wind River Resort and Casino's Overtime Lounge as we make your Wednesdays more entertaining with Comedy Night. Enjoy a comical, knee-slapping good time with live comedians every Wednesday. Show starts at 8. What would be great after a long day at the office? Drinks, laughs, hoots and giggles with friends, and a live comedy show every Wednesday night. Enjoy the humor with different comedians every week. No cover charge. For all the details, log on to WindRiver.com. Must be 21 to attend this hilarious event. Comedy is better at the river.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, State of Jefferson, and certainly a wet one for most of our good fair state here. It's been a little bit windy and a little bit crazy. Give us a second here while we're getting our mic. There we go. So, we're here for yet another Sunday morning, and here as always with Wynn Carpenter. And how are we doing this morning, Wynn?
Pretty good. How about you?
Yeah, doing all right.
Good.
And enjoying the weather, even though it's been a bit of a pain in the, a little bit of a pain with some of the down branches and had a little bit of fence damage and, you know, some things like that. So, give us just a second. We're getting a couple of things adjusted here. Alrighty. There we go. But, yeah, with the pretty good storm, it looks like a good series of storms that are coming in. And, you know, that's I heard from a lot of the old-timers again this year. We're going to get water like we did last year. We're going to get more. We're going to get more. So
let's hope.
Yeah, we need it.
We do.
So restore the lake. But so we drove a little bit closer to the second legislative assembly.
Yes, sir.
And a little bit closer and a little bit closer and... You know, people getting ready to come together, and again, I've been watching some of the work that's been done by the various committees and the different things and the things that they're looking at bringing to the table and getting done, and it ought to be a really, you know, it's more of a working session than the first one was, if
correct.
That makes sense.
It does, yes, you know. And that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, and, you know, plus to have Mark Baird there to bring a lot of it together and lay it out, you know, what is Jefferson? What is, you know, because it's really forming the identity of who are we, what are we going to be?
And where we're and, headed.
Yeah, where we're headed. And at the end of the day, the core value is representation.
That's right.
Equal representation under the law. What a radical, crazy concept. You know, everybody gets the same chances, the same treatment under the law, the same ability to be upwardly mobile, the same treatment from their government.
Well, we used to have it way back when the state was first formed, on the day it was formed, and after that, then it fell apart.
See, I've always wondered what it looked like. I don't think I've been alive long enough to see what equal representation under the law looks like.
None of us have.
It's like this dream that I've heard of, but I don't think we've ever seen it. But mm-hmm. It's only within the last few years, I think very many of us realized that we had never seen it.
Correct.
We thought we had,
yeah,
but we really haven't.
That reality check,
yeah. And that makes you realize that we didn't realize how much was gone already. Imagine what our kids are not going to recognize as missing.
Right.
Well, that's one of the things that's always kind of driven me behind this and the things and getting the push back and
what we're leaving behind for our kids.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How much have we lost? Mm-hmm. You know, how much do we recognize or not recognize that we have lost? You know, that's, I had a couple of comments how we were off on the license plates. last week. And it just, I guess I didn't do a good job getting to the point of it. It wasn't about the license plates themselves, yes or no, or who cares about the license plate or the ultimate decision of that. It was the point that we cannot just blandly surrender liberty for the sense of safety as we do for a license plate. Most people don't even open up their minds enough to recognize that something as simple as a license plate is a surrendering of liberty in the name of safety. And if we're going to create and ensure a free state and maintain that free state, we have to think that way. Uh-huh. Even over the little things, even over something as silly as a license plate, we have to make that stop and go, hey, wait a minute. Okay, what is this? Because we are surrendering part of our liberty in the name of that silly thing, whatever it is.
Right.
So that's it. It comes back to preaching about how can we ensure and protect good government if we don't know what it looks like.
Well, it's a trade. You're giving up something for something.
Exactly.
And that's what people have to think about, and think about that way for everything.
Yeah.
You brought up license plates or DMV in total. What about permits? What about, all kinds of
things? All kinds of things that we just unconsciously accept as normal.
Right. And permits for all kinds of things, whether it's, building a home or an addition or whatever, and then there are permits for running a business or what have you. Things like that. You're giving something up so that you can have something
else.
Yeah.
And that's where we need to understand that on a very fundamental level.
Right.
And I think that it's something that maybe should not even be that set into stone on things like permits and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Because once government has a permit, or it has a fee, or it has a license, or something like that, they never let it go.
That's right.
It increases. It grows. It turns into window number two.
Yep.
It turns into please take a number.
Yep.
It turns into it
turns into more money.
It grows.
Yeah.
And grows. So something as simple as a license plate, because that's what DMV started out as, a license plate. And it grew into that monolithic monstrosity that is responsible for a large number of the ills in our state. So, yeah, something as simple as a license plate really is something that you need to think about.
Yeah.
Because you need to recognize what it is. And that was the whole point of that discussion. It wasn't about the license plate itself. It was about what such a simple decision can lead to.
Right.
And it's... So, I hope that helps to clarify it. As you brought up, building permits. Why?
Yeah.
If you want to build a rickety house that falls down on your head, isn't that kind of your problem?
Yeah.
This is not mine.
No.
No. Again... People want to make sure that other people are safe. Or, does that change if you're renting? Because if that house that you built falls down on somebody's head, then are you not liable?
If you own it.
If you own it. See, so there's all these things that we just openly accept, mm-hmm. that we really need to stop and take a thought about. Because if we are going to surrender that little piece of liberty for that, how do we stop the mission creep? How do we stop the license plate from becoming DMV?
Yeah.
How do we, is there a way to stop it, or can you just slow it?
Yeah.
So that's, I hope that clarifies for those people that were asking about, why were you going out there on the rails, off the rails and into the weeds about that? It wasn't about the particular thing. It was the concept behind it.
There you go. Get everybody thinking.
Get everybody thinking. Exactly. And, that's one of the wonderful things that I think is going on with these committees and these different things that are going on, is the back and forth. And are there going to be some terrible ideas that come out of it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Are there going to be some great ideas that come out of it? Absolutely. But how do we get those ideas out there and figure out what's good and figure out what's bad if we don't do the work? If there's not the communication that's going on, if there's not the interaction. And is it clumsy?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's awkward.
Yeah. So is your 2-year-old. You don't throw them out in the garbage. It takes a little bit of time, and it takes some coordination, and people will get there. And some people, they're up and running very fast, and then they hit a wall, and some people are up and slow, and they never stop.
Yeah.
It's the differentiation of things, and you have to trust. You have to take your hands off the handlebars.
Yep.
And let them ride the bike down the street. Take your hands off the handlebars.
See where they go.
And see where they go. And if they fall over, don't go running down the street to pick them up. See if they pick themselves up and get back on the bike and start pedaling again.
There we go. It's that character building where they're doing all these committee developments and so forth. Yeah,
it is. And some of the stuff I've seen has been fantastic and productive. And I've watched some of the stuff be self-correcting. You know, I've seen some of the stuff that gets put out there. And it's the instant reaction to just be like, oh, God, no, don't, you know. But then you see them talk about it back and forth, and they figure it out for themselves.
Right.
You know, it's I think it's fantastic what's coming and some of the work that's going to be done. With that, we've got Jimmy in Reading.
Good morning, Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy.
Good morning. Hey, first of all, I want to double what you said about communicating with people that don't know about Jefferson, because even conservative people that would like to see the state of Jefferson, when I bring it up, they go, oh, well, you know, our water rights, and we wouldn't get federal tax money and all this stuff, and, you know, that's a misnomer. Anyways, Red, I was going to tell you, you were talking about the DMV last week, and I'd like to tell you, I'll try to make it quick, a story about how...
I read the story. Go ahead, Jimmy.
No, this is about, yeah. So, about 18 years ago, and I'm sure things haven't changed since then, me and my daughter's mom split up, and about a month after, I went down to the child support, and I said, hey, it was about 2 months later, I said, hey, we split up, she's on AFDC now doing whatever she's doing, do I owe you guys any money? Am I supposed to be making payments? And they went back and blah, 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 and they came back and they said, nope, you're all good, because I had my daughter a week on, a week off. I was paying for child care, plus I was giving her cash, which I, like a dummy, I didn't get receipts for. So anyway, they said, no, I'm all okay, we're all good. So about a year later, they call me down to the child support place, and they go, Mr. Jimmy, you owe us $350 a month, plus $350 for every back month, which was about $4,000. And I said, hey, you know what? I came down here and asked you people if I owed you any money to avoid this scenario. It wasn't the $350 a month, which, you know, I was more than happy to pay. It was the fact that now I have a $4,000 bill on my hands. Okay, so, you know, they attach my wages. I go on about my merry way, and about 6 months later, I'm driving down I-5, doo-doo-doo, and I get pulled over for a taillight that's out. Highway Patrol comes up to me, he's all, how you doing? Got a taillight out, license registration, please. Comes back and says, did you know your license has been suspended? I said, what? He said, yeah, for section yada, 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 family support. I'm all, are you kidding me? And I had two check stubs in my glove box that I showed him. I said, hey, I've been paying child support and my arrears. He said, wow, they better really get together up there. So I go to DMV and I tell him, and I show him these check stubs, and I say, you guys just canceled my license, and now, you know, even though I've been paying. And they said, oh, well, they just kind of shrugged their shoulders. So I had to go through all the rigmarole and pay all the fees to get my license back. And then when I was almost done paying off my child support, I go down there and I say, how much money do I owe? And they said, oh, it was $130. I put the money on the counter. I said, okay, thank you very much. Have a nice day. That's it. They said, no, that doesn't include the interest you've accumulated. And I said, interest? How much is that? And they said, well, we don't know. We're going to have to audit you. And then I said, how long is that going to take? And they said, it could take 3 to 4 months. And I said, am I supposed to be paying interest on the interest at that time? And they said, yes. So I kind of got, you know, I told this lady this whole scenario. And she goes, wow, here, go down to this address and tell them to expedite your case. So I went down there. It took them 5 minutes to audit me. I owed about $1,000 or $1,100. So my point is, these people don't have their stuff together. And even though I was trying to be a good guy and, you know, take care of all this stuff, they made basically $1,000 off me, plus all the DMV fees. And that's my story.
Wow. Yeah, that little license plate don't sound so innocent now, does it?
Yeah, so I mean, it's just, it's like a scam. So if they do that to 1,000 guys and they make $1,000, that's $1 million they're making. And I'm sure they do that in Shasta County. And I think that is one thing that has to be changed in the state of Jefferson. Because we do need family support, absolutely, for all the deadbeats. But, you know, it just, you know, then they, you know, just tag guys like me that try to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. And what does their Department of Motor Vehicles have anything to do with collecting arrears or, you know, assessing interest or policing that at all?
Oh, yeah. And ask me how glad my boss was when he found out my license was taken away.
Oh, he
was just overjoyed.
I bet. And as you said, this was some years ago, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because nowadays in a suspended license, they would have towed your vehicle. They would have jacked up your insurance.
Impounded.
They would have impounded your vehicle. You would have had to pay for an emergency tow. And they don't even care that it's the DMV's mistake. Even if it's DMV's mistake, you're paying that fee. You're paying the tow fee. You're paying the impound fees. You're paying the yard fees. And they're not going to compensate you, even when you prove it that they screwed up.
Exactly. And that's what I wanted to get out there. And that's, you know, one of the many things we have to fix when we get the state of Jefferson going.
Absolutely.
So thanks for listening. I love your show, and I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Bye-bye.
You know, and Jimmy does. It brings it home, is when we're designing this state, yeah, we need to think about the little things,
yeah.
Because all of that story that you heard, and that's one out of tens of thousands. We're talking about the agency that now allows and enables, that's the word I'm looking for, enables illegal aliens to drive, to have a driver's license, to vote in our state.
To vote.
All because, why? Nobody stopped to go, do we really need a license plate?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not that innocent of a question. So, with that, we probably better get off to our first break, and we'll be talking about and kicking around some other good things, and our good governor making WikiLeaks.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. What do you know? You got caught lying about something.
Really?
Weird.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, New Time, Sunday 9 a.m. to noon.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with me, John Whitmarsh from Access Mortgage. We know how to say approved. I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience. So call me today at 945-9660. Let's get you into your dream home.
Access Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 1096314.
Big Bike Weekend 2016 thunders into the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center beginning October 14th. Sign up to participate now at BigBikeWeekend.com and check the schedule of events. The Remembrance Ride over Shasta Dam, followed by a barbecue dinner and street dance at the Rodeo Grounds. The Big Bike Poker Run and your chance to win $10,000. Big Bike Games, the Big Bike Show, live music, raffles and prizes, vendors, non-stop entertainment featuring DJ Bob Bed on the main stage. Take part or be a part of Northern California's biggest gathering of bikes from all over the West Coast. Big Bike Weekend 2016 is family friendly and free to attend. Cooler weather and the coolest bikes come together again at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center in Redding, Friday, October 14th through Sunday the 16th. Sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino, Russ Brown Motorcycle Attorneys, and Riggs Media Consulting. For registration or for a schedule of events, go to BigBikeWeekend.com.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Well, we're moving on up, moving on to the east side, to a deluxe apartment in the sky. Moving on up,
moving on up
to the east side. We finally got a piece of the pie. Fish don't fry in the kitchen, a beef don't burn on the grill. Took a whole lot of trying just to get up that hill. Now we're up in the big league, getting our turn at bat. As long as we live, it's you and me, baby. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Oh, yeah, we're moving on up,
moving on up
to the east side, to a deluxe apartment in the sky. We're moving on up,
moving on up
to the east side. We finally got a piece of the pie. Well, we're moving on up.
You know, keep that piece of pie, too, I think. I don't know if we've figured out a way to have our cake and eat it too, but we're at least going to get to eat the cake.
Try anyway.
We are definitely going to try. Oh, you know, and we're talking about things that we need to keep in mind as we bring the new state into fruition and lay the foundations for it. And, you know, the driving force behind this is representation for all, equal representation. And how is that more at its base level than when it comes to voting? When you're voting, when you're selecting your voice, when you're selecting your representative, when you are choosing your proxy to enforce your interests, at what more base level is there than when you vote for that person?
That's true.
So a corruption of the voting system is the basest of sins that a government can create. Mm-hmm. It is the worst of the worst. Is defying the will of the voters, corrupting the will of the voters, circumventing it. Well, WikiLeaks, who has been extremely busy to anybody that's been paying attention, mainly with the Hillary Rodham Clinton campaign, released a new batch of emails last night.
Oh, they would never do that.
Oh, yeah, there's about 900 of them. I think I made it through about 400 of them before I finally turned in. But in there was emails back and forth from John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, and Moonbeam.
Moonbeam?
Moonbeam Brown.
You mean
Jerry Brown?
Brown,
yeah.
Our governor daddy?
Who would have thought that they would have been emailing back and forth? Because if most people remember, Jerry Brown was very neutral, very vanilla between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, and even kind of put it out there that he might be thinking about running for president himself.
Just to divert it. Often.
To divert it.
Yep.
The whole time he's talking to the Hillary Rodham Clinton campaign, supporting Hillary, backing Hillary Clinton, and may have ties to the rampant voter fraud that occurred in the California primary. Anybody that looks at the true numbers and went on in California, the Democratic Party, Hillary Rodham Clinton lost in California. Yeah. Bernie Sanders won that election.
Yes.
And that was destroyed at the state level. And according to that emails, time to start looking because it looks like maybe Jerry was part of it.
Oh, wow. Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. You know, and
they all flock together, don't they?
Yes, they do. And they are very willing, and they know that people are looking. So they put those diversions out there.
Yep.
publicly, we're not going to say anything. Publicly, I know, we'll throw out there that I might even run for president.
There you go.
The whole time, the other hand's doing something else.
Yep.
It's the O.J. Simpson defense. If the gloves don't fit,
gotta quit.
Yeah. It's nonsense.
Well, so how do we do anything about this?
Yeah, we break away and form our own state because we're done with it.
Well, yeah, we're working on that, but how do we, in the short term, deal with any of this garbage?
I'm not sure you want my opinion.
Okay, well then. Not suitable for the airwaves, huh?
Yeah, I don't know that there's enough people ready for that yet. But, it goes back to the other corruption that we've seen with our governor. His dealings of spending public funds for his own private ranch to identify oil wells on his public his private property in Colusa County. His ties to John Kitzhaber up in Oregon. That was an actual pay-to-play green scandal that brought that governor down. Jerry Brown was the one that designed the program that brought the guy down. Jerry Brown is the one that went and got the illegal contracts with British Columbia and Quebec and Tom Steyer in Oregon. That was our governor.
Sweet.
So when you ask, how do we combat that? Well, we combat that with our representation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, we don't have any of that.
And we probably won't as long as we stay with California.
And then you get the people that make the argument, oh, we'll elect better representation. Well, how do we do that when the election system's rigged?
Yeah.
What do you suggest we do? What is your suggestion of how we fix this thing? Because we know how we're going to fix it.
Yep.
And we're very comfortable with our solution to fix it.
Amen.
And it is a return to the base American form of government and protecting it. Because we have allowed the mission creep. We have allowed these things to come up upon us over innocent things. That damn license plate. You know, it's we've got to be very careful with what we do. And I see the work that the committees are doing and the thought processes that are going into it. And I know a lot of their work is going to get taken apart and put back together in a different form and rearranged. But the work that they're doing is vital. It's fundamental.
It's huge.
It's good stuff that they're doing.
We've got a lot of brain power within the territory of Jefferson.
There's a lot of smart people.
And we have a lot of patriots that are, you know, they're not afraid.
Yeah.
And combining those forces together, and some of them are one and the same, but, you know, getting it all together and getting it done right and moving forward, mm-hmm. because we all owe it to our children and our grandchildren, because, you know, our parents and grandparents left what for us. Now we need to improve and fix. We always want to improve everything mm-hmm. for our children, always.
And we want to make sure that they have the tools needed
to fight it
they have to.
That's right.
And to maintain it.
Yes.
And we want to make sure that those tools are exercised and they're kept sharp.
That's right.
They have to be.
And the kids coming up and the young adults are educated on what is to be done and mm-hmm. how it's to be done. So they understand it and they grasp it. And they realize that, you know, it's not all Disneyland. There's no fun and games in it.
That starts at public education.
And it starts at home as well.
It does start at home. Yeah. We have the greatest responsibility as parents.
Yes.
To pass it on.
And accountability within the educational system.
Yes.
We have to hold our educators accountable to educate properly.
Yeah. We need to return civics to the classroom.
Oh, amen.
We need to return history to the classroom.
Proper, correct history.
Yeah.
Accurate history.
Accurate history.
Not rewritten history.
Yeah, not this pandering, we're responsible for all the evil in the world crap. I'm so sick of hearing that.
They hear that, just think the opposite.
Yeah, because it's not true.
It's not true.
Does America have its dark periods? Who doesn't?
Every country does. Yep.
Yeah. But if you take the wrong because of America compared to the good that America has done in the world, doesn't even come close to equaling out.
That's right. You
cannot point to another nation on the face of the planet that has done the amount of good that America has done.
That's right.
And that's the things that we need to bring back, is we have to have something that our children want to defend, that want to stick up for, that don't want to hang their head and pretend like they're not a part of.
That they're willing to fight for.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we have a committee working on. What should public education look like? Right. And that's former school administrators. That's people that have dealt with the nonsense in California and know where the pitfalls are and know where the traps are. Are they a little obsessed with bureaucracy and the minutiae of it? Yeah, okay. But that's their problem. Let them deal with it. Let them function their own way and let them bring something together.
Yeah.
It'll work.
It'll work.
We've been patient this far. Continue to be patient.
Yep.
Things are working out good. Next, we've got Round Mountain Bob on the phone.
Good morning, Bob.
Hey, good morning, guys. You're doing a great job. Hey, you know you were talking about our great governor, Mr. Jerry Brown, but you forgot to mention his father, Edmund G. Pat Brown, who actually started all this stuff in motion in the 50s when they started smog stuff on automobiles and everything. He's the one who brought the EPA to California and all this. We're now actually the old lead gasoline was better than what we got today. This corn fuel stays in the air. You constantly breathe it. That's why people more have asthma and breathing problems and stuff because they can't get out of the air. Years ago, the old lead stuff fell down to the ground, and we redone it again. But, you know, you got EPA from him. All this smog stuff on your cars today started from Edmund G. Pat Brown in the late 50s.
All right. Well, thanks, Bob.
And this is why we really need to get out and get the state of Jefferson rolling even better than we do.
There we go.
We do.
You're right.
You know, and in all truth, Central California needs help.
Yeah.
Southern California needs help.
Oh,
but
big time.
We can't help a drowning man that's going to drown us right along with him.
Right.
We can't do it.
These people for years have bought into this stuff, and then they keep getting people in line to run for these offices, just like the governor we got after Jerry Brown coming up. And, you know, nobody's running against this guy. And he's a bigger crook than Jerry Brown.
Gavin Newsom.
Gavin Newsom. That's
right. Is frightening.
You know, he wants to take your gun rights away literally in this state, as well as many other things. Old cars. People in this state have old cars. We refurbish them. They want them off the roads. Look at the license, the insurance, everything that we pay, the gasoline taxes for these old cars to keep them going because we love them, and they want them off the road. What would that cost us?
Well, Gavin Newsom will be by far worse than Jerry Brown.
That's right.
If Jerry Brown is the Emperor from Star Wars, Gavin Newsom is Darth Vader without the warm, cuddly parts.
There you go. Hey, you bet.
The guy is frightening.
So. Yeah, I hope to see you on the 30th. You know, we have our meeting coming up. I hope you mention it. And talk to you later. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Bye.
With that, we can sneak off to another break. And maybe I'll tell you a little story about Pat Brown and his son Jerry and Japanese war criminal and some oil fields in Indonesia. But we'll save that for after the break.
You're listening to Jefferson State of Mind on KCNR 1460.
She was struck down, going to her doom. Daddy, you okay? You okay? When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. We're doing a lot of heater upgrades, so if you think you want to try a new on-demand kerosene water heater or a Toyo heater, give us a call before winter. We can give you a free estimate. Robin down in Corning is very busy with all the truckers, farmers, with the ag season in full swing. Joe in Weaverville got his new awning up and all the lights are working for all the early birds. The Redding plant is selling a lot of ethanol-free 93 and a whole lot of barbecue bottles. And if you need a forklift tank, we got some of those in now. We have a lot of bulk oil in your container or ours, and we're open on Saturday till 3:30 at the Redding plant. Northern Lights Energy, everything from race car fuel, motor oil, red and clear diesel, and gasoline. In South Redding, we have the Muse Card Lock. Corning, Weaverville, and Redding, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Hi, everybody. Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. It's football season, and Mighty Fine has great deals on our nearly 300 beers for whichever big game you're looking forward to this weekend. We've also got daily deli specials under $5, fried chicken that can't be beat, and these new sriracha chicken bites that you just have to try. Locally owned and operated at 299 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista, Mighty Fine has everything you need for game day. Big store selection, small store service, Mighty Fine.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. Political week begins Monday as we welcome Rob Rowan, who is the Democrat running for California State Senate against Ted Gaines. Let's find out what Rob wants to accomplish if elected. Also joining us is Bill Chappell running for re-election for the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. Let's find out if there's any changes that Bill wants to make. What's he going to do about crime, jail, and more? All of this Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
I have a hurricane, listen to yourself, churn world, serve its own needs, dummy, serve your own needs, feed it up an ox, speak, grunt, no strength, the matter starts to clatter with fear, fight down, high choir and a fire, representing seven games in a government for hire and a combat site. Left to west are coming in a hurry with the furies breathing down your neck. Team, my team, reporters, battle Trump, Tether Cross, look at that. Comment, please, what it'll do. Save yourself, serve yourself. World, serve your own needs. Listen to your heartbeat. Dummy with the rapture and the reverend and the right. Right. You patriotic, patriotic. Slam, fight, right. My feeling, pretty sight.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine.
Slice and burn, return, listen to yourself churn. Locking in, uniform and book burning, blood letting, every motive escalate, automotive centering. Light a candle, light a motor, step down, watch your heel crush, crush, uh-oh, this means no fear. Cavalier, renegade, steer clear, a tournament of lies. Offer me solutions, offer me alternatives, and I decline.
It's the end of the world.
Ugh, man, just sitting here talking about stuff in between the break, and it just, it's enough to turn your hair white, curl your toes, and just make you an angry person, I tell you what. the whole argument and the distraction and the deflections we get into between Republican and Democrat and conservative and liberal and all of these different things that have just got thrown at us, at the end of the day, we are facing corruption. And that's what it really boils down to, is our country is being destroyed by corruption. And it's being destroyed by Republican corruption. It's being destroyed by Democratic corruption. It's not political corruption. It's just corruption.
From within.
From within.
Yeah.
It's bad.
By design.
It's rampant. It's horrible. It really is everywhere that you go. I mean, you can't go look at a city council in Northern California and not find corruption.
I know. And how do
your board of supervisors, corrupt.
Yeah.
Your legislators, corrupt. Your assemblymen, corrupt. It doesn't matter the R or the D, they're corrupt.
They are.
You know, we were...
They're all drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, we were, you know, the Republican for Assembly, or for Senate, Ted Gaines. Okay.
Oh,
you know, we say one of his worst crimes is being an empty suit. Well, he's committed worse crimes than that. He actually signed a document opposing the state of Jefferson and asking the Supreme Court to allow illegal aliens to be counted in voting districts to pull even more representation away from the North.
Mm-hmm.
How many people know that he also authored a bill asking for Syrian refugees to be allowed to be brought to California and asking Moonbeam to expedite them coming here?
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, your glorious R defender, right?
Yeah, vote for him. Not.
Not, but yeah, who else are you going to vote for, right?
Jeez. Well, we had a great candidate in place for that.
Well, one of the things I'm going to be very vocal about in the state of Jefferson is our ballots need a box that says none of the above. Try again.
Yeah, start over.
Go back to the beginning. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
Yep.
Try again. You screwed up.
Yep, not going to happen.
It's insane.
And you look at all the money behind Gaines. You know, if you look at his huge list of funders, it's absolutely obscene.
Yeah.
And none of them, or I shouldn't say none because I don't want to be misquoted and I don't want to misquote something, but very few, if any, are from the territory of Jefferson.
None. Yeah, I'll go there.
I just didn't want to be totally wrong.
Yeah. A lot of them are not even in the state.
I know.
It's insurance interests.
Yes.
It's corruption.
It is.
It's bought and paid for corruption. So. We got Terry on the phone, and if we got time after this, I'll tell you a little story about Jerry Brown and his family history.
Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, guys. Hey, Red, you might be able to help us out with this, because when it comes to research, there's probably nobody better. And that is... Shasta County, from what I understand, in a conversation with one of our public officials yesterday, is supposed to receive money for AB 109 in the millions of dollars. Do you have any idea where that goes and what the county's doing with it?
Well, part of those funds will be used for the new jail, I believe, is how they're allotting that once they're done shuffling around the puzzle pieces is how they're passing off. Part of it will be towards the new jail. I believe some of it has gone into new deputy payroll for the sheriff. A lot of the new military equipment that our county has purchased, most people are unaware of, the new ARs, the military bayonets, stuff
wow.
like that. But yeah, a lot of that AB 109 money is still tied up in IOU.
So they're really not getting it. I heard that the jail, from another public official, in fact a couple, the jail's off the table because years ago when we had the opportunity to have a jail built, they wanted us to come up with $6 million to staff it. We decided not to do that, and therefore, from what I understand, the jail's off the table.
Well, that may be something that comes true, but you'll notice that they're moving right ahead with the sobering center, aren't they?
So where's that money coming from?
Well, that money's going to come out of the budget from somewhere that hasn't necessarily been very clearly identified. And my bigger question is whose buddy's going to be the private company that's running the new sobering center?
Yeah. Anyway, good show. Hopefully, maybe there can be a little research. Somebody out there can tell us where that money's going. And like you said, there's some in the form of an IOU. But it'd be nice to know because, you know, as you know, the county wants help, and if 57 passes, that's going to give us more criminals on the street.
It's gonna pass.
Be nice to know where that money is actually going and how much of it we're actually getting.
Well, again, you've got to remember that the biggest trick that California does is when they say, okay, there's AB 109 money, okay, and they put that into the law enforcement payout budget. And then they put all these monies that they say that they're going to put, they allot them to these different you know, they allot them to education, they allot them to public safety, they allot them to all these things. Then they go, oh, wait, we got a deficit, and then they cut the budget, and it goes right back into the general fund.
Okay.
That's right, one buddy. That's one of their favorite tricks.
All right, that sounds good. Like I said, all I had heard is that they had received some money, but they weren't quite clear on where that money went. So,
well,
talking about corruption, I think it's at the local level too. Yeah.
Oh yeah, big time.
All right, good show, guys.
So,
thanks, Terry.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
So, with our last couple of minutes, I want to go back to something that Bob brought up, and Edmund Pat Brown, Jerry Brown's dad. Okay. And how the corruption and a lot of this stuff that got started and how he started the EPA and all of this. Well, it was actually Jerry Brown that started CARB, California Air Resources Board. And we'll come back to that. Remember that, okay, that after Edmund Pat Brown's tenure, his son took over and started CARB. Now, this is a long story, so I'll try to keep it as quick and as short as possible. Back in the early 1930s, when Japan started World War II, most people don't realize this, when they invaded Manchuria and took it from the Chinese, they called it Manchukuo. It wasn't actually the Japanese Imperial Army that invaded. It was a bunch of differing warlords that had a privately funded mercenary army that were looting and pillaging the wealth of Manchukuo. Okay, the head of that was a guy named Ryoichi Sasakawa. Okay. Ryoichi Sasakawa was a notorious war criminal. Back during the looting of Peking, when they killed an estimated 10 million people in that city. Later in testimony before the war crimes court, Ryoichi Sasakawa said, "I didn't kill 10 million people. I saved the Japanese government from having to pay for 10 million vaccinations." Okay. Now, this guy was not a nice guy. Okay. But he was pardoned.
Pardoned for 10 million deaths?
More than that. He was responsible for a lot of deaths. He, back when the Japanese really got into full swing of the war and the war in Japan became part of the government, the Japanese parliament attempted to stop the war. The Japanese prime minister was assassinated personally by Ryoichi Sasakawa. That's when the emperor in Japan took over. So Sasakawa was pardoned because he was an ardent anti-communist, and he was extremely good at rooting out communists and getting rid of them and keeping them out of Japan and Southeast Asia. So our government and the CIA, he basically went to work for the CIA. Wow. Now, Ryoichi Sasakawa went on to run certain organizations in Japan, like Mitsubishi, like the Yakuza. He was also the founder of the World Health Organization for the United Nations. There's a statue of him in the entryway to the World Health Organization. Through the World Health Organization, he continued a lot of his programs, his scientific experiments on people. You remember a little over a decade ago in Chile, there was those 300,000 women that were sterilized against their knowledge. They thought they were going in for pregnancy checks and stuff like that, and they were sterilized. The doctor that committed those atrocities worked for the Sasakawa Peace Foundation, was extradited by Ryoichi Sasakawa and made a citizen of Japan to escape prosecution. That's who this guy is, okay? Wow. He's been an advisor to American presidents. There's pictures of him jogging with Jimmy Carter and, you know, all of this different stuff. Now, back in Indonesia, okay, Royal Dutch Shell used to own all the Indonesian oil fields, okay? After World War II, that changed. There was a revolution. There was a group named Suharto that came to power and basically nationalized all of the Indonesian oil fields. Now, that went on for 4 or 5 years and really kind of pissed Royal Dutch Shell off, okay, because they lost all their oil fields. So another revolution was started by a general named Sukarno. Sukarno overthrew the Suharto government, took over the Indonesian oil fields and all of these things. Now, the people that provided the weapons and the mercenaries for that, Ryoichi Sasakawa. The person that provided the money and put together the banking conglomerate that floated the loans to reopen the oil fields and all of the money, Edmund Pat Brown, Jerry Brown's dad. He actually set up two banking corporations, one based out of California that he was 100% president of, and one out of Hong Kong that he was 50% president of. The other 50% shareholder, Ryoichi Sasakawa. Okay? So these Indonesian oil fields get opened up. Jerry Brown, his son, is now in charge of California, decides to come up with this great new thing for global climate called CARB. Well, the very first thing that CARB puts in is a regulation on the amount of sulfur that can be in sweet light crude that can be refined in the state of California. The only oil in the world that met that criteria? Daddy's oil fields in Indonesia.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Jerry Brown's obsession with the bullet train, brought to you by Mitsubishi, the first contributor to the high-speed bullet train, Ryoichi Sasakawa. That's the kind of endemic corruption that we're fighting in the state of California with the Brown family and the things that are entrenched. And there's a lot more to that story, but like I said, I've only got a couple of minutes to get it out. So I'm sure there's a lot of questions around that. But
all the detail that is in that that you just spewed out, I mean, it makes your head spin just trying to keep track of, you know, where everything's going.
Well, there's
who the players are.
There's more to it. And the Sasakawa Foundation's influence in California and the things that went on, especially in Los Angeles, and the Japanese real estate purchases and the things that were going on in the late 80s. Remember when everybody was running around going, oh my God, the Japanese are buying California?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Jerry Brown was the real estate broker.
Oh my gosh.
So that's the kind of endemic, systemic corruption that we're fighting. It's been here a long time.
So are we sure that Jerry Brown's not the world's richest man?
No, he's not even close.
Really? I mean, being paid off by all these things. And
he's got a lot more money than the guy lets on. You know, he tries to play the part of this cheap, frugal hippie. He's not. Neither is his family.
Not even close.
His family has a deep history of when his great-great-great-grandpa first immigrated to California right outside of the city of Willows. His family used to own the power company. Mm. They used to own the telephone company. They used to monopolize the utilities. So that the Brown family corruption goes...
It's genetic.
It's genetic, and it goes way back.
Oh, my gosh.
So how do we fix that? How do you cure a limb that's got gangrene?
You cut it off, and you become your own self-supporting sovereign state and of Jefferson.
And get yourself a peg leg, because the peg leg is by far more acceptable than letting the whole body corrupt and die.
Yeah. Well, if people want to show up, they can come on October 30th, 9:30 to 5, and it's 2290 Benton Drive, Reading. And that's where we're having the second Jefferson Assembly. And come and learn, come and share, come and offer information, find out what's going on, what we're doing, how we're doing it. And get involved. Everybody's got skin in the game or finger in the pie, as some people would say, but you need to get out there and get involved.
Yeah, and you need to understand the overwhelming condition of what we're facing.
Yeah.
And why we have to have the proper mindset as we engage in this fight.
Yes.
You have to have determination. Our actions have to be deliberate and sustained.
Yep.
We have to check all of the boxes. We have to cross all of the T's. We have to dot all of the I's. You know, as we were talking about, you know, last week, we know some of the things that we do aren't going to work, but we still have to go through the process.
Right, right.
You have to engage it on its level to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And we're doing that. And we're winning. You can't go out in the North State now. You can't drive to the store for a gallon of milk and not see 5, 6, 7 State of Jefferson stickers. People are waking up. They're beginning to understand. They understand what we're fighting. They understand how we're fighting it.
And that's just the people that are willing to put out there that they do support it. There are a lot of people that aren't willing to do that because of comfort level for whatever reason, which, you know, everybody's got their own opinion on things, but we need more supporters out there in every way possible.
Yeah.
And don't back down. Once you start something, don't let somebody talk you into something crazy and foolish. Do what's right. Go with your gut. Go with your brain. Know what's going to be happening. Think clearly and do it right.
And remember, at the end of the day, it's representation for everybody.
That's right.
Equal treatment under the law for everybody.
That's right.
All right. We'll see you next week, Jefferson. Stay dry. Good luck.
I keep my heart
Community Talk Radio for the North State is KCNR Shasta Redding, where the news is brought to you by Wind River Resort and Casino. It's better at the river.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Herring. Mike Pence is standing up for Donald Trump in the wake of allegations by a number of women that the Republican presidential nominee mistreated them.
The media is piling on with unsubstantiated claims as the headlines while they ignore an avalanche of hard evidence about corruption, pay-to-play, political favoritism emanating out of Hillary Clinton's years as Secretary of State.
He was a guest on Fox News Sunday. Transcripts of Clinton campaign chief John Podesta's emails released yesterday by WikiLeaks also show the campaign worrying that Senator Elizabeth Warren might endorse Bernie Sanders. Other transcripts show the campaign was lining up materials to respond to fresh accusations from Juanita Broderick, who accused President Bill Clinton of raping her decades ago. Tens of thousands of people are in the dark in Oregon and Washington as the remnants of a typhoon blew in from the Pacific Saturday. There's more foul weather.